Jesus reveals the laws of supreme blessing. Part 1, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 108, Day 475, since January 1 of 2016. Just in this campaign alone, the Bible reads in Matthew chapter 5, if you're not there, get there, because the Word of God is paramount. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, a familiar passage to some of us, but some have never heard it before. And seeing the multitudes, he, Jesus, went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn. You say, preacher, is it blessed or blessed? I believe it's simply blessed, but you know, preachers like to stretch it out a little bit, so let me just go ahead and enjoy myself. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. My God, my God. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. And Holy Father God, we thank you for your holy Son who uttered these words one day on a mountain. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would drive these holy words to our wicked hearts and hide them in our hearts and change our lives. Save that soul that is nearest hell. Reclaim every backslidden Christian and revive all saints. For your glory, your praise, and your honor, grant us fresh unction so that we can function. Anointing from on high of the power of your Holy Spirit to preach your holy word so that others may hear and come to know your Savior and get their lives turned around. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. A.W. Tozer said, An infinite God can give all of himself to each of his children. He does not distribute himself that each may have a part, but to each one he gives all of himself as fully as if there were no others. Beloved, everyone wants to, if they have any sense, have a blessed existence, a blessed life, a happy life, a good life, a sense of purpose, a sense of fulfillment and satisfaction. As you know, thousands of books have been written claiming to unveil the secrets to the blessed life or to the happy life, the good life. Someone said recently that we ought to have the courage to be happy. Millions buy these books hoping to turn their lives around. They dwell in the self-help department of the few bookstores that are left. But more often than not, they don't find the solutions for which they seek. And they read that book, they share it with their girlfriends, and yet they are not happy. In fact, oftentimes they're more confused. And they say to their girlfriends and to their friends, their male friends, "I did that before. Oh yeah, I read that book 3 years ago, girl. I tried that mess. It didn't make me happier. In fact, I became more sad." However, beloved, 2,000 years ago, Jesus of Nazareth revealed the secrets to the life of supreme blessedness and happiness, if you will. This section of his Sermon on the Mount is called the Beatitudes. The word means supreme blessedness. The nine Beatitudes that Jesus gives, the secrets to supreme blessedness in life, are revolutionary for two reasons. First, they emphasized such things as humility and service to others, to God and to others, things which the world sees as weak or impediments to success. Second, each of Jesus' secrets to supreme blessedness are connected to one's spiritual well-being. Another element which our increasingly secular world, our increasingly humanistic world, usually discounts. The first of Jesus' secrets, if you will, is blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Are you poor in spirit? Dr. R.C. Sproul states this word blessed means more than the emotional state represented by the word happy. For oftentimes happiness depends on the happenings and is very temporary. It includes spiritual well-being, having the approval of God, and thus a happier destiny that does not go away. So as we go throughout this passage, by the grace of God, we must remember that we cannot separate Jesus' laws of supreme blessing from having a relationship with God through Him, through Jesus Christ. Never forget that. It all begins with Jesus Christ. And I promise you, if you trust Christ as Savior, and you follow Him and love Him back and trust Him and obey Him and you're faithful to Him, I assure you, my beloved, He'll take you on a journey that you never dreamed of. True happiness or supreme blessing does not exist outside of God and Jesus Christ. Can somebody who knows the truth say amen? Dr. C.S. Lewis said, "There is simply no such thing In order to have this blessed, happy existence, we must first be poor in spirit, and most people are not. Rather, they are rich in spirit. They think they can do it. They think they're all that in a bag of chips and a Coke. They think they're somebody. I can make it happen. Young man told me one time, and he was a young Christian, God bless him. He said, I believe in PMA. I said, oh, you do? What is that? He said, positive mental attitude. Oh, okay, great. That's wonderful. If you just keep on going in the Lord, you'll drop that. You better believe in God. And let that positive mental attitude come through Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's called joy. That never goes away. The Bible Knowledge Commentary says the poor in spirit are those who consciously depend on God and God alone. Can somebody say amen? And not on themselves. They are poor inwardly, having no ability in themselves to please God or to be saved. And then Dr. Warren Wiersbe said, to be poor in spirit means to be humble, to have a correct estimate of one's self. It does not mean to be poor spirited and have no backbone, no fight, no fire in your belly at all. Poor in spirit is the opposite of the world's attitudes of self-praise and self-assertion. I am somebody. I can make it happen. I can do it. It's all about me. Narcissistic, selfish, devilish people, and sad to say, some are in the church. And they look down their nose at the truly poor in spirit, who understand that they are nothing without God and without Jesus. It is not a false humility that says, I am not worth anything, I can't do anything. It is honesty with ourselves. We know ourselves, accept ourselves, and try to be ourselves to the glory of God. Poverty of spirit is the place, therefore, ladies and gentlemen, where we begin on our journey. Our journey to the supreme blessed life. Our journey to supreme blessing, rather. The poor in spirit recognize that they have no standing before God. They do not see themselves as having any spiritual wealth or moral merit that commends them to God for His approval. They are honest about who they are. And outside of God's grace, they can't save themselves. They can't get saved. They can't be accepted by God and into the Beloved. If we want to be supremely blessed in life, we must recognize, Beloved, that we are utterly destitute and completely impoverished before Him. We cannot receive His ultimate blessing unless we are poor in spirit. In other words, we are not lifting ourselves up. we realize that truly we're nothing without God. And so therefore we humble ourselves before Him. To those who are poor in spirit belong the kingdom of heaven. Proud, arrogant, stubborn people depending on their own merit will not get into heaven. They just won't. Only those who are willing to admit that they are nothing before God will be able to enjoy the wonderful blessings of the kingdom. I cannot explain that to you. I cannot tell you really how that is. It is a work of grace. It is a work of God in our hearts to get you to that point where you realize that without God, you're nothing and you can't do anything worthwhile. I can't help you get there. Only the Holy Spirit of God, only the grace of God can get you there. Hear me and hear me well. You can't fake this. You can't pump this up. You can't make this happen. The Holy Spirit of God has to put this in your heart in a very real sense. Many people will miss heaven not because they have rejected Jesus entirely, but because they are depending on a little bit of Jesus and a little bit or a lot of bit of themselves to get in. And God wants you to understand you cannot depend upon yourself at all to get into heaven. He made it very clear, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You must come through Christ. And that's why Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to God but by me. Amen, somebody. They think there is still some good within themselves, these people, even if it's just a 0.5% that merits them for heaven. But as the old saints used to sing, we don't hear folks saying this anymore because they learned it. They learned that it was wrong doctrine. When they sung 99.5 won't do. It is all of Jesus or all for nothing. In the words of Charles Spurgeon, it is all of grace, my dear friend. Being poor in spirit is the first key to the life of supreme blessing. And as we continue in this series, this song will become more and more relevant. Written by Daniel Whittle, sung by thousands down through the years, there shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. There shall be showers of blessing, precious, reviving again, over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. There shall be showers of blessing. Send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing come and now honor thy word. There shall be showers of blessing. Oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing. Now as on Jesus we call. Yes, dear friend, you must call on Jesus to begin the life of supreme blessing. That is the beginning point. Recognize the poverty of your soul and come to Him, placing all your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your eternal salvation and for your life of blessing. You say, preacher, how do I do that? First, accept the fact that you are a poor sinner and that you have broken God's law as I have. And so has the Pope. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And hell is an awful place. The rich man told Abraham, please take me out of this torment, this fiery torment. Hell is an awful, sad place, my dear friends. I thank God that by his grace, he found me and saved me. And he's searching for you. He is pursuing you and wants to save you as well. For he is not willing that any should perish. And he does not want you to go to hell. In fact, Jesus Christ himself said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Is all of grace. Is all of grace. Pray and ask him to come into your heart. Humble yourself down and pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul. Joining a church will not save you. Singing in the choir will not save you. Preaching will not save you. Being a preacher will not save you. Being a deacon will not save you. Doing good work in the church will not save you. Being an usher will not save you. Doing good work in the community will not save you. Marching will not save you. Marching for the rights of others is a good thing, but it will not save you. Giving money will not save you. Building, digging holes for water for poor people will not save you. These are good things, but they will not save your soul from hell. Only faith in Christ. Romans 10:9 says that if you build, you sue, shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God hath raised him, Jesus, from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You build and you sue, not joining a church, not getting baptized, not speaking in tongues, not jumping and shouting around the church. None of that will save you. And some of those people who are doing all of that are probably lost and on their way to hell. Religion will not save you, dear friend. Simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, that strikes at my pride. I know, that's okay. Just trust Christ as Savior. And pray with me this simple prayer, for the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart as I did some 30, almost 40 years ago. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have broken your eternal laws, and I deserve hell because of it. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. When he shed his blood on the cross and died for me and was buried and rose again, I believe in him. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to start living for you and to do so until the end. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Beloved, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Allow me to say congratulations on trusting Christ as your Savior. You've done the most important thing in life, and that is simply trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or one of our other emails on any of our sites. There is some free material that we want to send to you immediately. We've sent it to hundreds already. We would love to send it to you. This will help you grow in the faith and be the Christian that God wants you to be. It will tell you about baptism and church membership and all of those good things you ought to do after you get saved. If you have a prayer request, please email me that as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good is my prayer.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.